You're tuned to Vibes FM. I am Sarah C. And today's special guest is a force of nature. Bold, sharp, sharp as a razor, insightful, incisive. Her lyrical ability is the stuff of legend. Her singing style is uniquely soulful. She has a brand new album out, Some Kind of Madness, and has kindly made time to come and talk to us here at Vibes FM. Today, it's also very personal for me because it fulfills a lifelong ambition to sit down and have a chat with Tanya Stevens. Tanya Stevens, welcome to Vibes FM.
Thank you very much for having me. When I heard a description, I started to wonder, is she no longer having me on?
Come on, stop your nonsense. When I first heard These Streets, I honestly thought, you know how people say, speak to someone in a language they understand. And let's just say the chap I was seeing at the time, I thought, if I play him this, he'll get it. He didn't.
Did he?
He didn't. And we can move along. But you actually spoke my feelings almost 100%.
I'm happy.
I can't tell you how much it helped. It was kind of like, it's not just me. And was that personal for you as well? Or was that just the most amazing songwriting?
Well, it was actually observation. Kind of like a compressing of a few different experiences, including pieces of mine. So it's not any one story, but it's a bit of mine plus a bit of my friends and family members and, you know, just, yeah. Unfortunately, too many of our men are like that. So it seems like it's one story, but it's all the stories.
Well, I say all the time on the radio that if they're really good at saying sorry, they're probably not very good at being boyfriends. Just my point.
I like that. That makes all the sense in the world.
Well, it's too much practice, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I do want to talk about the album, but I can't also go past. You did a track with Sanjay called Corners of My Mind, which just, I don't know, encapsulated a situation so well. And most people dare not speak those things. There's only a few, Queen Ifrika, Janine, and I would say, as well as you, that would even dare to make a song about that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've been given music as an opportunity to start conversations which are uncomfortable, because music is so sweet, and it has the ability to bring the message in a very melodic form. Like, it's kind of like baby food, you know, just breaking it down. It's like giving your kid a pill, but you crush it with some condensed milk or syrup to make them take it, because then they like the sugar, they hate the bitter, but they love the sweet. So that's what music is. It gives you the opportunity to have that kind of conversation. So I'm really happy for it. And I love the artists who use it for that. I love the other stuff too. But I really love the opportunity that we have to bring these conversations in the music.
I don't know if it is, but it feels to me that your story is redemptive. And even when you tackle the really difficult things, you do it with such a sort of a wry humor that you're almost laughing with them.
Well, I used to joke that I could either go get therapy or make music, and I chose to make music because that was more commercially viable. But the reality is that's true. Most of us who make music are people who have a lot of healing to do. And we heal through our music. Music is kind of like therapy. And we use it to fix our own problems. And usually other people can relate to it. So it feels like we're speaking for them. But no, we're usually speaking for ourselves, making this music. And I do laugh at it. Because if I don't laugh, I'd cry. And I think I like me laughing much more than I like me crying.
That's so funny. When I was young, managed to get a job in a reggae record shop, and everyone said I was not appropriate and it could not possibly be me. And I doggedly stuck with it. And in the end, they let me. And they used to say, why do you like reggae? And I say, honestly, it's medicine for the pain. But it's also pleasure, and it's also grown into be much more than that. And the other thing that the glorious victorious Gladys Wax used to tell me was, you have to live it.
I mean, many of us come from very painful places. You know, I think that's what inspired us in the first place. That's what makes us musical, because music is kind of like the soul's or the heart's language, I think. And what do we most want to speak from the soul or the heart? usually want to speak of the deep troubling things, the happiest moments, the saddest moments, you know, the most angry. It's the extremes that we express best from our heart. And that's what music gives us the opportunity to do. We've been through a lot and we want to share it. And then we share it and we realize we're not alone. They went through a lot too, so it's not so bad, and then we heal together. Such a beautiful process, really. Yeah.
I think so. And the things that we laugh at, I mean, I won't do it the way you do it, but I loved, look at you, pretty as a button behind that smile. Absolutely nothing. Too Real for You was, honestly, I can't tell you how much joy that song gives me, even to this day.
Yeah, it amuses me too, because, you know, it's funny, I think. It's really funny that so many judgments are placed on women. We have so many marks to hit just to be considered a woman, like, as if we weren't just born that way. You know, we have to meet the age, marriage by age goal. Otherwise, you failed at life because you didn't get married and have the right amount of kids, you know, a boy and a girl, but this tall, dark, and handsome stranger. And then you have to meet the career goals without having it impact the family, although the guy can be as impacting as he wants to be. We have too many markers to hit, you know, too many. But for me, it's ironic because I'm looking at them like, you want me to be all these things. You want me to be a 10. You're like a solid 2.5. And you demand a 10. Who is it that gives the men these kind of authorities, you know? Like, the guy could look like a dog. He's demanding that I go do things to myself aesthetically that I have no interest in. You don't look like what you demand, you know? You want somebody who's a young Meryl Streep, but you yourself, you're like, I don't know, you're Frankenstein's monster. You're not even one of the real characters. And then the dumbest guy can put down the smartest woman. And I've never felt amused by that, really. But my dry humor takes over, my dark humor takes over and says, let's laugh anyway. Let's roast him. Let's poke fun at him. Like, sir, you're ignorant. You're not very accomplished. You haven't really done much with your life. And you don't look good either while you're at it. So I don't think you should be talking so loudly. You know, like, you know, and also, you have a very tiny phallus. I like to throw that in because that hurts them so much.
Yes, it's true. I always think the best revenge is to be happy. And if you want to put the cherry on top of that, be happy and successful. And
yes,
for me, that's kind of how I use the driving there. And you know, when I was young, I maybe didn't have the parents I hoped I might. And I tried to sort of substitute the voice of a father with people like Jim Rowan and Zig Ziglar. And I used to pretend that they were my parents and that they were giving me advice, not perhaps the advice I was getting. And so I was amazed that you put a song on your new album called Zig Ziglar.
I don't expect very many people to get it. Some people may end up going to Google to see what is she talking about, but I thought it was really cheeky and funny and cool to, you know, to play on who Zig was, a motivator. He was deeply and into helping people to ascend, to become their best versions of themselves, to rise. And I played on a rise. And I laughed making that song because it just felt so irreverent. And I'm not sure how the Ziglars will feel about it if they ever hear it. Hopefully they never do. But it isn't meant to be harmful. It's meant to pay homage to his work, because he has done and continues to do so much good for people, as far as, you know, self-help and healing from all the things that set us back. And I think I kind of like maybe about 5% do what he does, but physically with the guys, I help them to rise. Yeah, but to the Ziglars, I mean no harm. I come in peace, and I love and respect your patriarch, and I really hope you're not offended if any of you ever hear this song. Hopefully you never do.
But if they do, I bet they have sense of humor too.
Hopefully.
I bet they have sense of humor too. And the brand new album, I love the way you open it, and it's about being judged and it's people who agree with you, because we've all got like that now, haven't you? I have friends that I don't agree with, and it's such a rare thing. And I can have a conversation and not, people get angry if you don't agree with them these days.
It's a weird time to be alive. I'm sorry.
And No. And I love that you you opened it, and you're just so honest. And there's so few people who are brave enough to just be honest. And I really admire your honesty. And I was wondering, were you tempted, instead of Who We Be, to start the album with Not Today?
Not really. I felt like Who Would Be really kind of sums up my attitude, the way I respond to people. And people get very angry, by the way. People get extremely angry. More angry when I say, please allow me to be myself, than if I said something bad about them. They're really angry. Like, people feel like they should have franchise in everybody's lives. Like, they should be able to tell you how to live, who to be, how to respond, how to speak, how to dress, how to act. And it's a very weird time to be alive. I'm not getting it. Like, cancel culture messes with my mind. I don't understand why people want to have something like that. That you technically everybody wants to have a world that's customized to them. I don't even know how they think that's possible. That there could be a world customized to each individual. It's not possible. You know, this is not the Truman Show. And we're not all props in somebody else's imaginary set. So I find myself having to say these things every day. And it's very tiring. I shouldn't have to. And beyond that, it's sad, because now I have to face the reality that I'm in the company of people who are so shallow, who are so insecure, who have such low self-esteem, who are really, they're just walking little bubbles of inferiority complexes, who need everybody else to complete and compliment them all the time. It's weird. It's very weird. It feels like we're living in the Black Mirror. Like, this is just one never-ending Black Mirror episode, and it's just weird. It freaks me out every day. But I keep saying it. This is why I had to open with it, because I feel like it's necessary to remind people that every second of my life, like, you, this is not your life, it's mine. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You don't have to agree with it. As long as I don't encroach on your space and time and freedoms, then it's really none of your business. And if you don't like it, there are almost 8 billion people on the planet. I'm only one of them. I am pretty sure the 7 billion others should contain somebody you like better than you like me. So stop wasting time with me and just move on. Move on. That's it. Oh God, it's weird.
There must be more of us that are actually in awe, though, of your ability and your talent and your voice and your lyrics and your philosophy, and are really grateful for it. But I was just thinking, you might have begun, I'm a thick-skinned, whiskey-drinking, foul-mouthed, critical-thinking hippie on a soul mission. And you can't mess with my head today, not today, Dread.
Yeah.
And it's also a salute to Israel vibration. So as much as there is your, I can't say F you on the radio, but as much as there is that attitude, there's also, I think, a reverence and a homage paying to the roots artists and to Israel vibration. And I think it's deeper than that too.
Well, so this song, Not Today, is actually the producer's pick. And he was adamant that this has to go on, because he played me the beat. It was like, yo, this beat is bad. I've heard it before, obviously. And it's really nice. It's sweet. It's nice. And instantly I was inspired, and I came up with the Not Today parts. Like, hey, I don't want to be messed with today. Leave me alone. But then I couldn't complete it, and he kept coming back to it. So it was one of the first songs we started on. It ended up being one of the last songs we finished, because everything I wrote felt like it wasn't good enough. It didn't sum it up well enough. It didn't quite hit the mark. And he kept coming back to it like, hey, so you're in the mood for this one today? Because we have to have this one. And I'm so happy he did, because it really is something special. And when I listen to it, and it comforts me, and I'm the one who said it. So there's something magical about the beat. That first and foremost, when I listen to the instrumental, I am still relaxed. It makes me feel like that. This is why I had to say that on it, because this is how I feel when I hear it. It's and I hope it works for everybody else who hears it, because God, it works for me. Like, not today. Today is a chill kind of day. I'm just going to allow my senses to breathe. And I'm not going to be fighting with you. I'm not at any conflict at all. I'm one with the universe. And I'm just going to sit here. The most I'm willing to do with my energy today is roll and puff. That's it. I'm not doing anything else. I might finish a dream catcher that I started. But beyond that, I'm not engaging in any of these open-ended debate to prove I can debate arguments. You know that humans get into on a daily basis. Not today. Today, I'm just going to drink some tea, if you don't mind. And if this doesn't work for you, move on. You know
exactly. And the producer you talk is that this is Tads, right?
Tads. So Junior Tads is the active producer, and of course we're still under the tutelage and supervision of Senior Tads, because he didn't leave us. But Junior Tads really stepped out on this album. I swear, he's amazing. Like, sometimes he didn't know where I was going, and he was like, you know what, I trust you, let me see what it sounds like when it's finished. And that's magical. That's being able to allow somebody else to be and to express is special. And it takes a really grounded, strong kind of person to do that, because it's really, he's a producer, but he let me produce too. So we did it together. Really beautiful experience. I wish everybody could have been in the studio with us, because it was magical. It was so good.
And where was the studio?
In Kingston. So Tad's recording studio is in Kingston on Red Hills Road. I did some recording at home too. I record on the previous albums, on the last maybe four albums, I recorded mostly at home. All of Revolution was recorded at home. All of Infallible, all of Guilty was recorded at home. Most of Gangsta Blues were recorded at home. But on this one, it was really important to step out of home and go into the studio, because we had 2 years of uncertainty. We were being instructed to stay at home. We had lockdowns, and it was a very depressing time. So, Sarah, I have to tell you, a lot of people think, I've heard a statement, fake it till you make it. I don't subscribe to that. A lot of people feel like they always need to put the best outside. And I think that is a disservice to myself. I didn't want to put the best outside. I was depressed, and I was not afraid to say it. I went into the studio and I told them, like, I'm sad. I don't want to be home anymore. I'm tired of my daughter. I'm tired of my nephew. I know they're tired of me. I want to see other people. I miss the crowds from the festivals. I miss the club. I miss the woman telling me about her baby daddy after the show. I miss taking shots. I need to take some shots with some people that I just met. I miss that. That is my life. And when I don't have my life, I have chaos, because my mind doesn't understand any of this that's going on. All of this that looks like normalcy, just being home. And I'm not used to that. I've been on the road since I was 16 plus. So I went into the studio, and when I go to the studio, I see Dean Fraser playing dominoes. Like, this is nice. And then Mr. Brownie comes into the studio, and he's Glenn Brownie on the bass. And then we all have also Danny Basie from Firehouse Crew. We have Lamont Avery, Monty on guitars, Khan Mitchum on guitars, Bowie on the keys, and if anybody's listening who doesn't know these names, just understand that this is royalty. This is reggae royalty. It's great musicians, amazing, awesome people who have done so many great things, and we're in the studio just chilling, just being normal, the way I'm used to normal. And this is how I healed from being depressed. So if there's anybody listening who hasn't come out of their depression yet, or who can relate to having been depressed over the last 2 years, 2.5, 3 years, just know that you're not alone. Even if you see everybody stunting on social media, pretending that everything is fine, it's not fine. And it's okay that you went through something and your body, your mind responded to it. It's okay. You're not weird. You're not strange. You're normal. This is normal human response to tragedy. We had a lot of tragedy over the last couple of years. You know, many things happened. Not only did our loved ones die, but our way of life died. And it is okay to mourn it. We grieve. And so this is what was happening with me. And then I had to go into the studio to get out of that. I broke curfew a few times. I'm not going to apologize, because when we're working, we're not working looking at the clock like, oh, the prime minister wants us to be home by, even you're not my father. I've been sitting here with these men for the last 5-6 hours. What's going to change? We're the same people. I'm going to go into my car by myself and drive home by myself and go into my house to the same two people I live with. This is not rocket science. This is what you're saying to me, stupid. I'm going to sit here until we're finished working, because if I lose this train of thought, I can't catch it back tomorrow. This is like a cobweb. If you break it, you can't patch it. So I'm going to stay right here and finish this track. And then I'm going to go home. And I'm going to respectfully say to the police, sir, madam, I was working. I was being productive with my coworkers all day. Nobody new came after curfew hours. It was still just us. So lock me up if you must. But this is what came out of it. Some kind of madness came out of the last few years of madness.
And is that why you named the album so?
Yes, partially. So there's a single on the album called Some Kind of Madness, which features Singer J, amazing talent. So it's named after the song on the album, but it's also inspired by all of the madness that I see around, because most of what I see happening now is madness. It's like the humans always wanted a reason to be at war with each other. And every day they bust their brains trying to come up with new ways to be at war with each other. It's madness. It's just madness. And I've opted out of it. I want no part of it. You know, and I prefer to make an album.
I think it's a good choice. And congratulations, because you're going to be 50 next year.
Yes.
And 50 never the people or sounded so good. Go on, sorry.
Well, I hope so. But you know, I hope it does look and sound good, because it feels good. It feels good. And it feels defiant. And it feels like everything they told me was a lie. You know, they've taught us since we were little girls, like, you peak by the time you hit 30. I have not peaked yet. And I dare anybody to challenge that. I am at my best. This is the smartest I've ever been, the wisest. I'm the most experienced I've ever been. I'm the most successful I've ever been. I'm the most confident I've ever been. I'm the most self-assured. You know, I'm relaxed. I'm comfortable. And this is when you want me to quit? You must be mad. You belong in the pile of some kind of madness. Do not speak to me. And the person who speaks like this, that's the peasant of the world. We who stand up and just live, we're the royalty. We are. And I do not consort with peasants. And I would tell those people who are living on a treadmill, the people who get on the treadmill and stay there till death, stay on the treadmill if you want. It's your choice. You have the right. But do not try to commission me to step on that wheel with you. I don't want to be on that hamster wheel, going around on that carousel, doing the same thing over and over, and trying to force everybody else to come along with you, because I'm 50 now and I have to roll over and die, roll over and play dead or wait to die. 50? When I feel so vibrant, when my energy is up, when my adrenaline is rushing at all times of the night, when I wake up in the middle of the night and I sweat and my libido is up, and you tell me no, that I should go chill and I shouldn't say I want to go on a date, I'm going on a date. You know, I can't say what I want to say on radio out of respect for you and your listeners on the platform, but you can read my mind. You know where to go and you know what to do when you get there. Don't tell me I can't live when I'm 50.
Exactly. Well, by this point, we are at our most potent, so we should be able to, we actually know what's best for us. We don't need someone else to tell us. And I always think you should trust your inner voice. And nothing is more important than the people you have around you. I definitely agree with that. So choose them wisely. And you've chosen some great people to collaborate with. Sadella Marley, Diana King, and that song just creeps on you. And then the harmonies. Could you tell us a little about that? I guess it's
very personal. I've always been, you know, trying to tell the story. But I think I used to tell the story of the survivor of sexual violence, which is what we talk about on this song, Diamonds in the Sun, which features Sadella Marley and Diana King. Big them up, two amazing women. Well, Diana, is now transitioning so to amazing people. And, you know, it's an important story to, for me, because it's my story. I am a 2-time survivor of sexual violence. And I've never really heard my story told in full. I've heard bits and pieces of it. I've heard advocates stand up for parts of me and completely neglect other parts of me. And I felt like I don't need anybody else to validate me. I'm going to tell my own story. I'm going to talk. And I'm not going to stop talking until the conversation becomes more inclusive and more complete. Because we keep trying to censor bits of it to make ourselves feel better. And I don't want to feel better. I want to be better. So this is what this is about. Talking about coming out of the hurt. Because I've been screaming the hurt for a long time. Now I'm talking about the healing, coming out of it, being the diamond. You know, I've been talking about the rock for a long time. Now I'm talking about the after the pressure diamond, the one that is always most brilliant, you know, shining. And that is what we did, hoping to be some kind of a beacon for ourselves, because this is also Diana's story. Diana is a survivor of sexual violence also. And Sidela has empathized with us and felt us, and we could feel that she feels us. We don't know all of Sidela's story, so I cannot tell you that it is not her story, but she has not shared a story like that with me. What she has shared is herself, her resources. She's shared her passion, her emotions. She's been very raw. She's let herself be vulnerable with the people who are vulnerable and need help. And she's come out and helped to create space for women like me who don't have my tools. So the three of us together, every time I listen to that song, I get goosebumps. And I'm a part of the song, but I'm in awe of the song. I swear, by the time I get to Diana, I have tears in my eyes and I have goosebumps and I'm a mess. I'm blubbering, because not sadly, but in a happy kind of way, because it feels like we hear us and people are hearing us, and the response to it has been amazing. Men are saying, you know, you touched me, and I listened to the song and boy, I'm not like, bring a tear to my eye. I understand what you're saying. And that is the best feeling in the world, that they start to listen to us. So I think we achieved what we set out to do. And I have to say lots of love and respect and thanks to these two amazing humans on the record with me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really do appreciate it. I could actually go through every track on the album with you, but we don't really have the time for that. But the one I wanted to draw your attention to was Worth Your Weight in Gold, featuring Nadine Southern. And it seems a really good place to end it, because you certainly are worth your weight in gold and more. And it feels very rootsy again.
Yeah, it feels good. On this album, I want to say thanks to all the artists who participated, because these are people I really look up to for their talent and for their personalities. And Nadine is somebody who was a role model for me when I was a small child. You know, we're not very far apart in age, but she was on TV and in public life long before I was. And she was the first person on Jamaican TV who gave me a correct representation of myself. So I really love her. And I've told her that in person. I had to tell her, because she needs to know that she was very valuable and still continues to be. She needs to know that she's a part of my growth and helped to inspire me, instead of just saying, I love your music, Tanya, and I love the way you're right. No, I love you for helping me to be this person. She was just a natural country girl on TV, being herself, you know, with her cornrows, giggling, shy, and a Black girl who didn't have to be mixed with anything else. Didn't have to come from uptown. She wasn't uptown. She's from the country. And she was unapologetically from the country, humble beginnings. And I love that, because that was my life. So it felt like it. And it's appropriate that we sing this together, because this is the story of me being inspired by Nadine and being told that, hey, don't listen to those people. You are, because you are. You exist, you know, and you're valid, and you don't need to listen to them. Just listen to your inner voice, listen to yourself, and just push and go for what you want. Be you. And that, it works for me. I hope it works for everybody else who listens to it.
Brilliant. Tanya, thank you so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it. People, of course, can follow you on Instagram somewhat famously. I am Tanya Stevens. And is there anywhere else they should look, or is Instagram the best place?
Instagram is the place I'm most active, but I'm also new to TikTok. Still, I am Tanya Stevens. I'm on Facebook. I think it's just Tanya Stevens, but it's the one that's verified, so it's easy to find. And I'm on Twitter much less often, Tanya_Stevens. But I engage, I monitor my own platforms, and I have real conversations. So anybody who has something to contribute is welcome. Please come.
Brilliant. Tanya Stevens, Some Kind of Madness is out now on TADS Records. Thank you so much.